This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to the December 28th, 2020 For Your Benefit radio show. Final show of the year. We'll look at year-end financial wrap-up, tax planning, more so financial than it will be tax, but we'll talk about some taxes. And we have joining us today John Gillick. John is a certified financial planner, and we're going to talk about year-end financial planning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Better now that I hear you, so I won't have to do this solo. Not that we would, but John Elliott, hopefully he will join us in not too long, and John is a federal benefits specialist. But between now and then, John, year-end planning, not tax planning, but financial planning. Do we trim our portfolio of things that have done nicely because we don't want to take any risk in the new year? Do we right the ship? What do we do?
That's Bob. I was going to ask you the same question from a tax planning standpoint. But good morning, everyone. I think it's, we kind of have to start with the beginning of the year in mind. Everything was cruising along great in January. The markets were great. And COVID, as I cough a little bit there, COVID hits and, takes the market out from underneath us. And then, of course, well, folks are reacting to that. Of course, into COVID itself, when the markets dropped, I'm sure there's a lot of folks in the federal service and even non-federal that, did some market timing, moved money to safety. Looking back over this year, it's been a tremendous year of both decline and also recovery to an all new high for the market. And so that clearly would have been a mistake, and that's the analogy I always use is chasing the train. But, this year's brought up a lot of other questions, which, I'm still running into folks that are saying, well, I got to take that RMD this year. Well, no, you don't. And so we can kind of get into the tax side of things. And the RMD age now is actually 72, not 70 and a half. So you had that change as a result of the SECURE Act, which went into force at the end of last year. And then during the year to help folks out with COVID, you had the CARES Act. And with the CARES Act, you got a multitude of other things that would help folks out financially as well. On top of that, the cherry on the cake is interest rates are at a level that we've never seen. I just was watching TV the other night with my wife, and you're under 3% on a 30-year mortgage, and you're under 2% on a 15-year mortgage. And there's folks sitting out there at 4.25, 4.5, thinking they can't do better, but actually they can. And I tell you, Bob, I don't know how you go through a year like this without with a sizable portfolio of assets. If you have properties, rental properties, and you don't sit with your advisors, and I think that's really something that I've hit hard on, at least in the webinars I've done for this year, and even in the live classes, is you have to at some point build your team, and your team would be a financial planner. Helping you quarterback everything, CPA for all your tax work, an attorney for your estate documents. I could bet you that a lot of folks are rushing to get their estate work done now because it's finally hit home potentially with a family member dying of COVID. What if I get COVID and I die? How would my beneficiaries be affected? So you just have a tremendous amount of things that have happened in this year. And so from a planning standpoint, you really need to take a look at everything. So with that, I'll kind of throw it back to you for some feedback on the year-end tax things.
Well, the year-end tax planning makes sense if you were going to do something tax-wise anyway. You might as well accelerate it into the current year. The only thing I might back off with regards to that, our listening audience includes people that are still employed. And it includes people that were employed but now retired. I'm not so sure that there's going to be a major difference in their tax brackets unless they were very high, a super grade or let's say a GS-14 and above. And they've been like that for a while, their tax bracket pre and post retirement may not be that much different. With regards to FERS, there is some ability to manage the brackets because you're drawing money from three different sources eventually, but maybe not all at once. But what is really the change in a tax bracket? So people will call up and say, my friend got a raise and it put him into a higher tax bracket and they lost money. That's almost numerically impossible. So I think managing the money would be managing the money to make more money. Now, if they manage that, then I'm not going to throw the ball back to you, John, but there's a way to invest the money and a way not to invest the money with regards to taxes. But let's say you went from one bracket to the next. You only pay the higher tax on the amount that goes into that next bracket. You don't go back and retroactively pay higher taxes on all of it. Most likely your state bracket, if you have one, but generally our listening audience, Metro DC maybe goes up the coast and down the coast, but they've got a state tax bracket. So when you're looking at tax planning, then you want to say, okay, my federal bracket is X and my state bracket is Y. So if I make a decision that's going to be influenced by taxes, that would be it. Your end tax planning might also include walking on John Gillick's turf. In other words, there's an economics. Did we sell too quickly to get a tax break, or did we sell too late? And so that's a tough one. But I think tax planning starts January 1st and ends December 31st. Not that you should do this weekly, but probably two or three times a year just to see where you are, where to trim. Maybe the losses, maybe to trim some of the gains. Now, when you trim the gains, the term long-term capital gains means that whatever asset you bought, we're talking mostly stocks here, and you've held it for at least a certain period of time, a year, the tax rate basically drops because you're entitled to the long-term capital gain treatment, whereas if you sell it earlier or not. I'm not so sure you should ever base most of your decisions on taxes. I really feel it should be economics. I'm not an economist, and I'm clearly not a financial planner. I think I understand the planning, but people will call up at the end, what do you think? Well, should I sell this and buy that? And I go, well, how much more do you have to ride on whatever you want to sell? Now, nobody knows the answer to that, but it shouldn't necessarily be driven by taxes. It should be enhanced by taxes. Does that make sense, John?
Absolutely. I mean, and we're getting a lot of that right now. And the tax question is with the change of administration, what lies ahead? I don't know about your thoughts on it, but I would see a change with a Biden-Harris administration of potentially, the Bush tax cuts going away. So no more, preferred capital gains rates. I was really happy myself. I was able to move a property before the end of the year that had, some gain in it. So there you just have a lot of things that are swirling around. I kind of left that off of my little, spiel there at the beginning. But, I'm not a predictor of, what taxes are going to be. But my prediction for years now, and this has been higher taxes, not lower taxes, especially on, higher wage earners. And I know you work with a lot of feds, as I do, in practice. You have significant earnings, especially if you have a dual income federal family. And so there's a lot of decisions to be made. And again, I think that, tax planning, you can only prepare for so much. But, I would prepare, and I do prepare my own clients for, the potential of higher taxes in the future.
Yeah, I believe they will be higher. I don't know if they'll be grossly higher. I think we've both been around long enough when we saw that tax rates sometimes were prohibitive, and then they've, basically started to go down.
Well, the Reagan, when he was, I think he was interviewed about how high taxes were, and he said, he had experienced personally 90% taxes, and most folks, would not remember that other than through a news interview. But back when he was making movies, and the highest federal rate was 90% percent. You know, he was on record saying, hey, I'd only make two movies a year because if I made a third movie, it was at the 90% tax rate and the federal government would take 90% and the state of California, I believe he said, was nice enough to take the rest. And he would follow it up with, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't like to work for free.
I will say I fortunately lived in that high tax era, but I was just breaking into it, so there weren't too many clients calling me up asking about the 90% bracket. But still,
and that was the land of the limited partnerships, as I recall.
Oh, for whatever reason you want, here it is, and it's going to save you a ton in taxes. Never mind the economics; just take a look at this shelter.
But yeah, so, I mean, it's ever evolving. But I do think this has been a wake up call. I mean, as far as, you know, looking back on 2020 for everyone, you know, family, financially, technologically. I mean, here I sit looking out, as we talked about, at the water, just outside of Annapolis, and you know, you're at the station, and you know, most of my meetings now, actually almost exclusively, are, you know, via Zoom, which should, if you'd asked me what Zoom was back in January, I couldn't have told you what it was. Turned out to be a pretty decent investment too. And that's the amazing thing when I run into folks and they go, you know, I know you do stocks and you're a stockbroker and it must be a really crazy year. And yeah, it's been a crazy year of making a lot of money. And I think that's where people are generally taken aback, because the natural assumption is that things, you know, because they're bad everywhere, they're bad market wise as well. And you know, I had a gentleman ask me the question. I've had over 20 years of this question. Gentleman with a significant amount of money, who's older, who's really concerned about, you know, the state of everything and taxes. And I told him my one solution for everyone has always been, you know, the easiest way to combat taxes and all the unknowns is to just make more money. And he chuckled at that. And he said, you know, the bigger problem for him is that he was getting ready to sell his business. And so he needed his money to last. Well, you know, short of putting it in gold and or just, you know, burying it in the backyard or keeping it in cash, which is going to net you no return, then my fear for you is what? It's you not making it to the end, right? Because you know, you need to get the return on the money. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of being more conservative, still invest in the markets, you know, probably no more at that stage, 50%. And then investing in things that pay dividends, that makes sense. And that kind of, you know, turns us back to TSP and that conversation. I can imagine all the folks that are still holding tight to the G fund and have missed out on a phenomenal year. But then again, I've talked to some feds who just stuck it out, rode out, you know, the dip and the recovery, and they've been handsomely rewarded for it. So you just have a lot of things that have happened this year. I think people are pretty shaken across the board as to what to do. But you have to look at, you know, take some time and look at these acts, the Secure Act, the CARES Act, your mortgage, you know, what are you paying on that, and really reach out to professionals at this point. And the problem you have with professionals is I'm sure you well know, to even refinance a mortgage right now is a challenge, just getting someone to respond to you. And, you know, buying real estate, folks are out gobbling up houses. And see, we talked about the view here. We had half a mind of actually not waterfront, of doing waterfront, but everything is literally snapped up. There was a house just up the street that we were going to look at. They had 12 showings the first day.
Wow.
And what it is it's folks that are actually coming out of D.C. and Baltimore that have experienced the lockdowns, you know, up front and personal in a city environment, that are like, you know, hey, this house isn't bad. It's only $1 million. And that's that's pretty amazing that folks have the ability to just, you know, pop on an additional house for only $1 million, right? But that's a lot of the kind of things that we're seeing right now. So you have low real estate inventory if you're planning to sell or, you know, retire in the next year or two. I mean, I've run into those folks, and you know, my first advice is to get your house ready to put on the market and put it on the market. Usually I won't tell folks, you know, recommend to folks, you know, to get a piece of property if they're 3 or 4 years out from retiring. But you know, now if you're planning to move down to an area like you know, Tennessee or elsewhere, Austin, Texas, Nashville, you know, those markets are really hot. And, you know, you may want to get ahead of the curve because a lot of folks, the demographics of baby boomers, are retiring to those types of areas. So the real estate price is likely to increase.
All righty, why don't we do this? Let's take a break. It's about break time, and let the folks gather their thoughts, and we'll be back after the break, and we'll listen to what WEPA, the sponsor of the show, can do for the listeners.
Federal Open season is over, but there's never been a better time to reevaluate your life insurance coverage. Get life insurance for less with WEPA. WEPA has been insuring the future of federal employees for more than 75 years. WEPA can be used as a supplement or replacement for your existing policy and can cost less than Fegley. In fact, last year, members who switched saved $375 on average. Although open season is over, you can apply anytime for WEPA Group Term Life Insurance. See how much you can save by visiting WEPA.org today.
Welcome back to For Your Benefit. We're here today talking with John Gillick, a certified financial planner. And I understand John Elliott has joined the group. Good morning, John Elliott.
Good morning. This was new technology for me. So
you're the only one that said that this year, John.
Oh, I've done Zoom. Actually, my wife sets up the Zoom.
Your wife sets up the Zoom. Okay.
I've never set up the Zoom.
We have to get some, we have to have some Zoom responsibility from now on, John.
That's true of a lot of things, but all right, I'm here. I actually could have called my wife from she's upstairs, but I just punch stuff and eventually things work.
That's great. Bob, this is going to go down as the most interesting show of the year.
So far, it's been spot on.
Absolutely. Well, that's, you know, bringing John into it. I mean, John's retired. I mean, he's got an interesting perspective. I mean, John, have you been sheltered in place the whole time? Are you venturing out?
Well, mostly we've certainly tried to observe all the recommended safety suggestions. Mask wearing, of course. Not when we're all with each other, but yeah, we've pretty much done that. We fortunately, like everybody else, is connected through not only Zoom or FaceTime, things like that. So, I mean, we can see our grandchild who lives in London with her mother and father, my daughter and her husband. And, so that's been a real godsend for us, is that we can stay connected. And my son, who's in Nebraska, same deal. So, yeah, we've pretty much experienced life like a lot of other people have, except, well, I'm retired, but so are a lot of our listeners, I imagine. So my life has been probably pretty much like theirs. And in a sense, the retirees are lucky. We retirees are lucky because we don't have to go to work. Probably if I were still working, I would be working at home like you have been. But I haven't done that for several years. So, yeah, you know, we'd like this all to end. Nevertheless, you know, we've eaten outdoors a number of times when the weather was nice. But yeah, eventually we'll get vaccinated and hopefully enough of us will, so we get herd immunity and then we'll all be more or less back to normal.
Okay. Well, let me do some tax things that are not back to normal, but been added. Tax things sometimes make sense to people, and even people in the business like me go, really? One is small, but they put into the law a provision for a charitable donation. I think all of us and the listeners would agree. Yeah, I understand what a charitable donation is, but what is significant, I won't say significant, what's attractive about the change in the law? Whether you itemize or not, you'd be able to claim $300 in a charitable donation off the top. In other words,
I heard that.
Yeah. In other words, when we all do our tax return, whether we do it or TurboTax does it or somebody prepares it for us, we get a feeling that there's income that's subject to tax and there are things that are deductible that help reduce our taxes. Now, one of the areas as an itemized deductions over many years, all the years that I think I've been doing this, they were always an itemized deduction. But in the change in the law, there are a lot of small things. This is nice. You can claim $300 right off the top. So it's not buried back in an IRS form. They call it Schedule A, where you list your mortgage interest, real estate taxes, charitable donations, et cetera. You can take $300 of the charities and just deduct them. This might be very attractive for somebody post-retirement, where their tax brackets may be going down, or maybe it's higher because they don't have any deductions. But here, this is a deduction that otherwise may have been lost and now can be claimed off the top. Now, again, it's small, but nice. And there's another provision in there on potentially the opposite end, where we are on required minimum distribution. And if you've already taken it for the year 2020, there's an option to return them. In other words, if it's been waived for a short period of time under this change in the law, they affectionately call it the CARES, C-A-R-E-S Act. And a lot of it's just a smorgasbord full of things. And I just looked at some of the ones that would have application to anybody, not just somebody that's got racehorses, for example. So, John Gillick, now, do your clients call you up and say, tell me the latest and greatest in taxes, and you work for a firm, a fine firm that I'm sure publishes information to keep everybody abreast. But it's been a long study, hasn't it?
I'd say so. I mean, we have, of course, information that has to be digested and turned into, client-facing documents. And, but there's only so much you can get into that paperwork. And of course, we have to be careful as advisors and as financial planners. We're not tax professionals. We're not legal professionals. So, you're crossing, partway over that bridge. My view on that is if I hand somebody, a tax table that shows them how much they can put away into a Roth IRA or, into their TSP, then that's technically providing some level of tax, information. But when you bridge over to where it turns into actual advice, it's a different story. So we would definitely lean to the CPAs. I mean, to the tax professionals for folks to get that advice. And it's something you had talked about earlier before John was on, which is just how taxes work. I still find folks every day that if you quiz them, about the federal tax table and how they pay tax, they're still of the opinion that they pay tax at one rate and that's it. And as you said earlier, it's you're taxed at the highest level on new dollars. And it's that moving from bracket to bracket, as you become more successful, you make more money that you have to be aware of. But that's something that retirees like John have to be keenly aware of because, John, he's got a pension, I'm sure, his wife's a pension and Social Security income potentially, although I think he's in the old system.
I am in the old system, but I do get a Social Security check because I worked outside the government to get enough credits.
Right. And so John's a great example. That's why I'm glad we have him on today. John, did you see a drop to a much lower tax bracket when you retired, as they told you all those years?
I have to think about that. Not much lower, if any. I didn't really notice much of a change.
If we ran our numbers, because I run them all the time for clients, and even when I'm out doing examples, folks, and you always hear that folks are living on 75-80% of their pre-retirement income. And I said, well, you are right now. And folks are like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, how many of you in here are, or at the max on your TSP contribution for this year, if you're 55 plus, it's 26 grand, not including the match. So if you're making 100,000 for the easy example, and you're putting 26,000 away, your take home gross for the year is 75% of your total earnings potential, right? Because you could not fund the TSP and go on more vacations, but you just wouldn't have as large of a, you know, additional retirement.
I used to tell people in seminars and individual counseling that you need to make a net to net comparison, your current net salary with your TSP deductions, your retirement contributions, if you're FERS and you're paying into Social Security, all those, when you retire, if you stop working altogether, disappear.
Right.
So, you know, let's take, you know, if you say, well, gee, I did my annuity estimate and I'm only going to get 56% of my high three, for example. Well, if you do the net to net, you're really probably over up to around 70 replacement income. And that sure puts you in a much better mood, right, and a much better frame of reference to retire when you want to retire. Right. So that's a critical point in your retirement planning to realize that net to net comparison, your net salary, what you're making now, versus what your net annuity will be.
Well, that's the example I use when I'm teaching, is if you have $100,000 income, you've hung around in FERS. I mean, because a lot of the folks on the older system are now gone, not gone dead, but you're still with us. But
well, there are a lot of dead people too.
Right, they're in retirement, right? But the FERS, I mean, so you hang around, you get 130 your high three. Well, that's, you know, on 100,000, that's 33,000. At 100,000, you would have maxed out, and Bob would attest to this, your Social Security for enough years to get the maximum benefit. Which would be close to another 30,000 in income. So that's 63,000. And you've got this wonderful TSP that you struggled to put money into that's probably worth 500,000 to 600,000 at that level of income. And you start taking distributions out of that, and you add that to the 63, and that's that. Those distributions from TSP are being taxed now at your highest level, which is putting you pretty much back to where you were, because, you know, 63 plus another, what do we need to get up to 75,000, another 12? And that's where you were at from a living expense standpoint, because you were putting that big chunk away into TSP to get the tax benefit.
Yeah, when I've explained that to people, I mean, I had literally more than one people tear up with happiness, of course, when I explained that to them, because they thought, oh, I'm going to have to work for, you know, 5 more years or whatever it was, or the rest of my life. And when I explained that to them, it was quite emotional. It's really an eye opener. And
That's the best part of the job for me, is getting hey, you can retire. And that's what you're getting to, is seeing folks get to that point where we can really retire.
Yeah, because I knew all this, I retired the week I was eligible. I finished out the week. I didn't literally retire the day I was eligible. I finished work till through Friday. But I knew all this, you know, because it's my job to know this stuff. So
you calculated it to the day. That's awesome. Well, so that's, and back to Bob. So when you're sitting down with a client, or, you know, potential client with a tax table, or you're at a seminar teaching, and you start going through the tax table, I mean, you just see the light bulbs around the room going off, and folks are like, wow. And as you said, you know, some going, I could retire. But yeah, it's that realization that you're not currently living on 100% of what you make, if you're significantly funding the retirement plan. Yeah. And then stepping back, and now on the other side of it, you have this very large TSP. And I always say to folks, your goal has to be now, especially with the SECURE Act, changing the way distributions happen to your beneficiaries. You really want to be spending that TSP down, not letting it continue to build and build and build. So that's one of the things I would have wanted to mention today, is a lot of folks are not taking their RMDs now. That's just going to have more money pile up tax deferred, because it's growing tax, you know, or tax, you know, no taxation as it's growing, but it's making the amount of the accounts larger And let's just take a scenario where a Fed passes or someone passes and they have a large lump sum of taxable money in an IRA, TSP, 401k, 403b. If you're married, your spouse takes that into an IRA in their name, or they take it over into an account that's still growing tax deferred in their name. But once the spouse passes and it's going to other beneficiaries, the SECURE Act has now limited the distribution period to 10 years. And so let's just, you know, take an example where a Fed or a federal couple's got $1 million combined. One dies, the other one takes their share over, the deceased spouse's share over into their name. They now have $1 million IRA, all fully taxable. They have one beneficiary, a child. The second person dies. That $1 million now has to be taken out by the child, who's an adult, I'm sure, working, or maybe they've gotten to the retirement point. They now have to maximum 10-year period over which to take those distributions. Now, they can wait till the last day in the 10th year, let it continue to grow. But the catastrophe in taxes, they'd be taxed, a significant portion of that, correct, Bob, would be taxed at the very highest tax rate.
The very highest tax rate includes both the federal, which can run very high. It could be close to 39%, but let's say it's more like in the 33%. But you have to add the state bracket in, too. So you might be talking about 40%, high 30%, maybe more than 40% hit if you didn't know this. What's nice, another provision in this change in the law regarding 2020 RMDs, the law was passed into the year, let's call it. And there were people that had taken their required minimum distribution earlier in the year, and then the law passed. So the provision in the new law said, even though you may have done this, you can put the money back in. In other words, you can dodge the tax. So you have a little bit of time left between now and Friday. When after Friday, it's going to be into the next year, if you want to return the money back into its protected environment, into an IRA or a 401k, not certain about the thrift, and not pay the taxes on it until you take it out again later on. But the sequence of distributions would include a distribution like we just mentioned. It might include your annuity. Let's assume the annuity for the moment, or not assume the annuity, then we have the higher taxable salary. Basically, it's a FERS world, but not to forget our CSRSers, but the FERS world might include distribution from the TSP. It would include the annuity, most likely, and maybe or maybe not Social Security. Now, when you put all those together, it's nice to say, yeah, I've got that source of income, but you have now potentially a higher or as high a taxable income. Somebody might say, what's the difference between income and taxable income? We all pay taxes on money we get. They call it gross income, salary, annuity, thrift distribution, Social Security, all of it subject to federal income tax, maybe some not state income tax. And whatever the next dollar goes in, it's taxed at its highest level, or more importantly, the next dollar that we can save off the top of that by maybe redepositing money into one of those distributions would save it for another day and teach us a lesson to look at this before the end of the year. We have all of, what, 5 days to do this, but nonetheless.
Correct, right.
I'm not sure.
We had talked about that before we went on air here about, you know, if you did want to take a liquidation out of one of these accounts or a distribution, you know, you're fast running out of time because it takes a couple days for trades to settle and then for the money to be processed. So really, you know, realistically, anybody wanting to liquidate and pull money needs to get it done by tomorrow at the latest.
If your kids inherit your thrift savings plan at your death, they can roll it over into an IRA, can't they, if they want?
They can move it into what's referred to as a decedent or a beneficiary IRA. You'll also hear the term stretch, but now that stretch period is limited to 10 years.
So they could postpone
it.
They could postpone the tax bite for as long as they didn't need the money.
That's correct. But, you know, the more they leave it, the more it grows, the more.
Right.
So you're really, I think, going to be spreading it over a period of that 10 years. Now, the neat thing is that they didn't put in an RMD provision for the beneficiary because it's a 10-year period. You can wait until the last day of the 10th year, which is very beneficial if you think about the Roth IRA. So if I inherit your Roth IRA, I'm in good shape because I'm just going to leave it alone for 10
years. Yeah.
It'll grow. And then on the last day of the 10th year, I'm going to pull it out. And it's all 10.
I retired just before the Roth option presented itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have gone to a Roth as soon as I could have. But let's talk about the Roth versus the deferred, the more traditional tax deferred plans. Do you recommend the Roth option for everyone or just certain categories of people at a certain age?
You hit on it. I recommend it for everyone. And actually the folks that are at or near the retirement point where they've got, you know, say 3 years or less, 5 years or less, especially if I'm out teaching, you know, I can quickly walk through a scenario where they want to take all of their remaining contributions, pay the taxes now, and put it into the Roth TSP. And so I've had folks call me back and say, hey, you know, we were in that by the CPA, and they said, you know, they're going to start recommending that to everyone, because if you think about that, say someone has 4 years left and they're over 55 and they're able to put in the full 26 after taxes. They now have a clean 100,000, little over 100,000, not accounting for any growth. The day they retire, that will never be taxed again, and the growth won't be taxed, and it doesn't create a problem for the beneficiaries receiving it after death. And in these feds that have $1 million plus and it's all taxable have never thought through the ramifications of getting it out. And I do have a bag. I have to give, I think I gave Bob one time, but of I ordered them off of Amazon. You can get everything there, right? The finger handcuffs you used to see at the county, at the fairs, and the Chinese finger handcuffs you put your fingers in. It's a little braid and you can't get your fingers back out. If you're a little kid, it's traumatic. If you're, you know, an adult, it's kind of a fun thing. And I hand those out to folks at seminars and say, hey, you know, put your fingers in here. This is how easy the money went into TSP, but it's not going to come out the same way. And the harder you pull on the TSP or any IRA that's fully taxable, the it's going to pull back much harder, meaning you're going to pay more and more tax the bigger the distribution. And I think that's just, you know, that'll be in my book. You can't steal that one. But, you know, I came up with that analogy years ago, and if folks get it immediately, they're like, oh, I can't believe this. And I'm like, yeah, your million's going to turn into 2 million. 2 million's going to go to four, and your kids are all successful. And if you die with this money, you know, chances are one out of the four is going to blow it. The other three are going to like take it out over a period of time, but there's significant tax consequences. The more they take in a lump sum at the top of their income, it will be taxed at that high level, and then ultimately could push them to the next higher bracket and the next higher bracket. And you get to the scenario where Bob just was at, where, you know, they're losing 55 cents on the dollar potentially on a large distribution.
Yeah, one thing, if we have any CSRS people still alive and listening, which both my wife and I retired under CSRS, so shortly before she retired, 6-7 months, I think, doesn't matter, we dumped a bunch of money into the voluntary contribution program, which only CSRS and CSRS offset people can be in.
Right.
And then when she retired, we were able to put that money into a Roth.
Correct.
This was 10 years ago now, and it is about the original investment, because we put it in the market, has quadrupled in value. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, so that's, I mean, and that's, and now your planning is that's the last thing standing. I mean, that's, you know, why would you tap it if you don't need to? You two would be better off tapping the pre-tax assets, pay your taxes, especially if your beneficiaries are, you know, financially very successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell my kids. I joke around and say the only thing left is going to be the house and the Roth IRA.
got a good spend down policy. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break and listen to what NITP can do for the listeners?
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Welcome back to the final 10 minutes of the For Your Benefit radio show. We have on the line today John Gillick, certified financial planner, and boots on the ground information regarding talking to federal groups. John Elliott wrote the book on how to retire successfully and maximize the benefits prior to retirement. And just before we go into that, John Gillick, I don't know that I heard about your contact points.
My contact points?
Yeah. Your professional ones.
Well, you can always reach me at Trader John J, my last initial there, TraderJohnJ@gmail.com, or by phone 301-704-0544.
Did they ever get Trader Joe's by mistake?
No. Well, actually, this would cause me to get the Trader John J. And somebody already had Trader John. And unfortunately for him, he does get my email once in a while and is nice enough to forward it.
All righty. And Trader has nothing to do with trading stock, just to trade stock, right?
No, actually, it had to do, believe it or not, Bob, with that was my email that I set up when I started. I was one of the pioneers in eBay. I didn't create it, but I was one of the very first people on there auctioning things off.
That's what I understand. All righty. We got 9 minutes left, about 9.5 minutes. Final thoughts that we didn't bring up before now, or elongate on something that maybe needs more time?
Well, I would throw out, Bob, John was not with us in the early part, but you know, clearly sitting around the house, not that John does it all the time as a retiree, you know, with COVID raging and the risk of, you know, imminent death for us all, you know, things like estate planning, checking your beneficiaries, you know, having a long-term care program. And I did talk to a surgeon the other day who said, you know, one of the biggest problems is that these folks that are getting COVID and then going home after recovery and they're having all types of severe issues that have resulted from the COVID. And so I'm just curious what John's thoughts are on that. You know, have you taken a look at your own estate? Have you taken a look at your beneficiaries? Have you rethought some things?
Yeah, we've done that previously. We had an estate planner, and we've pretty much kept them up to date. The only thing I've procrastinated on for no particular reason is we moved to get our house into the trust we have set up for the kids. I need to send them the deed and that's all it takes, but you know, and then I keep forgetting about it and my wife keeps forgetting about it. And then we just talked about doing that the other day. So, but other than that detail, but that's an important detail because then I guess the house would, if we died, both of us, all of a sudden the house would go into probate. The rest of our assets would be fine for them. I mean, they wouldn't have to go through probate because we have a trust, a will. But that's the kind of detail, you know, that we just overlooked by procrastinating.
Yeah.
You know, we did call our estate planner, who's been a guest on this show many times over the years, That's what he said. He said, yeah, just mail me the deed and I'll put it in your trust. So.
Well, we know what you're going to be today. Doing for the rest of the day.
Yeah, but that's kind of the type of thing you might neglect that, you know, it's not a big tragedy, but it makes it a little more difficult for your kids.
Okay, to round out the show, let's put the spotlight on John Gillick. When you teach these webinars, I won't call them seminars because we don't do any live anymore, but we still do an awful lot via the net and in a group. And I mean, what's nice about it, anybody in the country can listen to it if that agency, you know, wants to download it. What have you found, let's say, late mid-career where somebody just hasn't gotten it yet with regards to creating not wealth, but money inside the thrift, how to spend their money more wisely?
We're talking about it sounds like financial irresponsibility to me.
Yes.
You know, Bob, that's a tough one. I mean, and we do run into that quite a bit. And I hate to say that I'm somewhat isolated from it after 20 years in the business, but I just, you know, those folks don't really make it through the front door anymore. I mean, and you know, as professionals, and you know this for sure, there's only so many hours in the work year and you want to spend them as effectively as possible. But, you know, I talk to those folks, I make some suggestions on some reading material to hopefully get them, you know, on the right path. But, you know, you can't cure poor spending habits. And, you know, we don't, as planners, live with the folks. We don't see how they're spending the money. If you have a spending issue before you retire, it's going to sink you in retirement. There's just no question about that. And folks end up going back to work. I mean, they're having to continue to work for some time. And now with COVID, that's become a challenge, just finding a job. And so, that's a tough call, Bob. I mean, we can only help them to a certain point. And then, you know, you got to help yourself.
Yeah. I had a client, once and you know, they spent everything they made, and they had charge card interest and whatnot, but they did have a sense of humor. And one tax season, they came in and client opens up the briefcase and his big stack of it looked like receipts, and they said, the total of this is X dollars in interest. Now I've got this great tax deduction. And and the person laughed, but I said, why don't we do it the opposite next year? Just whittle that pile down to two or three. Not all your credit cards on two or three, and see if you don't like the result on the tax return better, or better yet, money in your pocket. So sometimes people get caught with, well, you know, must be good if it's tax deductible. Maybe not.
Right.
And probably the best tax deductible thing would be put money into your thrift. Now, maybe you don't get the taxable, you do the Roth thrift, but whatever it is, it's going into something that's going to generate a higher amount of dollars when it's time to take it out. And some say, well, hey, I've got to pay taxes on it. And I always say it's better to pay taxes on money you made than money you didn't.
Well, in my comment earlier, you know, the sort of the cure for pretty much all financial issues is to make more money, right? And so having your money make more money makes a lot of sense.
All righty. John E., You have boots on the ground information with regards to a federal employee and their benefits, et cetera. But more importantly, final comments to those looking at retirement or in retirement.
Yeah, take advantage of the various websites, OPM's website, Social Security's website, and their calculators. Before you retire, you need to know how much money you're going to have. We already talked about the net-to-net comparison. That's key. But to do that, you also need to visit the websites and get on the calculators. TSP has a terrific calculator, and that can estimate your future wealth, assuming certain rates of return. But you choose whatever rate you want to assume, and you can choose do several scenarios with different rates of expected return on your investment just to get a picture of what you'll have in retirement. If you don't do that, you're flying blind. And it's better to rely on yourself using these tools than somebody in your HR office that may not really know much about benefits or finance. So if you become educated and you just using these simple tools, and they're easy to use, you can become, it's a great takeoff point for your retirement planning. And as in many cases, as we described earlier, lift a great burden off your shoulders about when I can retire or if I can retire.
Okay. I just want to say one thing. We covered a lot of ground, but every week we do this show, and every week it's pretty much focused on something. So I would advise anybody listening that said, gee, I didn't know this. Well, there's probably some things that you didn't know that are on that website. It's NITPINC.com. We've never sold anything in 35 years of business, so we just have this website, and you can go through it and look at the different radio shows and or articles written, et cetera.
Now, so we're broke.
Huh?
No, we're broke. We've never sold anything. No, you still, or I used to, and you, Bob, as the head of the company, sell seminars. That's where the money comes in, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
But everything else is free. I answer questions from people who've attended the seminars for free because Bob pays for it. and, you know, you'll get out of a seminar and say, oh, I wish I'd asked that question. Well, you can write NITP, email the NITP, and they will forward it to me. And 99 times out of 100, I'll be able to, well, almost
okay.
100.
All righty.
I'll find you the answer.
Andrew's telling us we're done. Johns, thank you. Andrew, thank you. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.